Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, down at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 14, 2014, all right, it is the 18th day of the 4th lunar month, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Yahshua is my portion, the constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled, his tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he cares for me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and oh, he watches me. A 13 symbolic code, number 1 and 2. Yahweh's people delivered. Actually, the name of this sermon will be When Yahweh's People Delivered. Okay, we're going to start with a prayer thought on Genesis chapter 9. It says, "And Yahweh blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of Yahweh made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And Elohim spake unto Noah and unto his sons with him, saying, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you." So let's read that again. "And with every living creature that is with you of the fowl of the cattle, and of every beast of the field with you, from all that go out of the ark unto every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, and neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And Yahweh said, This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for the perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between Yahweh and every living creature of all the flesh that is upon the earth. And Elohim said unto Noah, This is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard." See, this is what I'm doing. I plant a garden every year. And I have this as my, I guess, my ninth garden or my tenth garden in a row this year. "And he drank of the wine," let's continue on, verse 21, "and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took his garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan." A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Yahweh Elohim of Shem. Canaan shall be his servant. Elohim shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. This is talking about that second son, middle son, Ham. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Okay, now, we know that the middle son, Ham, it says in another place, the man that has uncovered his father's nakedness, or that has lain with his father's wife, has uncovered his father's nakedness. So apparently they all got drunk on the wine. All of Noah's family. If Noah got drunk, they all got drunk. Apparently, the wine had fermented, been in the ark a whole year with them. I believe that they drank of that, and it fermented on them, and it made them all drunk. Them not being aware of it. And so, it's only natural people would do things that they're not fully aware of what's going on. And so no doubt, Ham, it says, has lain with his father's wife, has uncovered his nakedness. So Ham proved to be the seed of Cain. So he's called Canaan. So he's in the Bible names in Canaan. He was the seed of Cain. And he's also the seed of Satan. And so they have to be servants to Yahweh's people. Okay, having said all that, let us go right on into now our main study. When Yahweh's people delivered. So this is the name of our sermon today. When Yahweh's people delivered. We're on 13, symbolic code number 1 and 2. Okay, it says, this is a study by V.T. Hart of April the 3rd, 1943, and June the 15th, 1945. This is during World War II. So V.T. Hart is writing this in conjunction with what was going on at the time during the war. Says, our study this afternoon is based on the texts that are somewhat scattered throughout the Bible. It is, in reality, a review of the study we've had the last several weeks, or you might say that it is a conclusion of them. You remember through our study of the 11th chapter of Daniel, and Isaiah chapter 7 and 8 and onward, that they bring unto the view a war and the deliverance of the Elohim's people in a time of the great distress. That is a point that I am to emphasize this afternoon. We will read first Zechariah 1:18-19. Then lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. For the prophet saw four horns, and the angel that talked with him made him to understand that these horns were symbolical of the Gentile nations which had scattered Judah, the two-tribe kingdom, and Israel, the ten-tribe kingdom, and also Jerusalem, for the capital city of the two-tribe kingdom, Judah. In other words, in the symbol of the four horns, Zechariah saw those Gentile nations which scattered Elohim's people and destroyed their kingdom. Zechariah 1:20-21. It says, and the Yahweh showed me four carpenters, and said, I, what come these to do? And he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, that these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. For the prophet first saw four horns, which perfectly symbolized those Gentile nations which scattered Elohim's people. For the horns are used to push and scatter. Afterwards, though, he saw four carpenters thus lending the impression that they have come to build, for that is the business of the carpenters. When the prophet saw the carpenters, he wanted to know the purpose of their presence. In his answer, the angel first told him that these carpenters are none other than the four horns, Gentile nation, which has scattered Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem. And these same horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem have now returned as carpenters to cast out the Gentiles and thus free the Elohim's people. It therefore becomes obvious that the four horns which the Zechariah first saw point back to the time when Israel and Judah were scattered. And the symbolism of the four carpenters must point forward unto a time years later when Elohim is to restore and rebuild the kingdom. Briefly then, the symbolism of the horns looks back to the destruction of the kingdom, whereas the other, the carpenters, look forward unto the repairing of it. For the question we ought next to consider is whether the fulfillment of the work of the carpenters took place in the time when the Jews returned from the Babylon after their 70 years captivity, or whether it refers to some other time, for you remember that the Jews were scattered, and the land was taken, and they went into captivity under the Babylon for the 70 years of Jeremiah's prophecy, after which they returned and the city was rebuilt. Zechariah says they were four horns, which would include all the nations that had a part in the scattering of the Elohim's people, and moreover, if this prediction met its fulfillment in the Nehemiah and Haggai's time, all the Gentiles should have been driven out forever. But they were not. Besides, the horns were those nations that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And now they have returned to free them and to repair the kingdom. And in chapter 2 of the Zechariah's prophecy, Elohim declared that not only would his people's kingdom be restored, but many nations would join themselves unto the Yahweh. Since both Israel and Judah did not return, and since other nations did not join themselves to the Yahweh and his people, when the Jews returned from the Babylon, we cannot say that this prophecy met its fulfillment in the return of the Jews from the Babylon. And since this prophecy has never been fulfilled, it must take place at some future time. Through it all, we see in the Zechariah's prophecy a prediction that one day Gentile nations would be engaged in the rebuilding of the Israelitish kingdom in the Palestine that was once destroyed. We see also that there is to be a world war in which Gentiles outside of the Palestine and the Gentiles within will be involved. In that war, Elohim's people, Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem are to be delivered and made free, and the kingdom will be rebuilt. That is as plain as anything I have ever seen. Okay, Luke 21:24. We find these words, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." It is at the time of the Zechariah's prophecy is with this fulfillment, when the four carpenters drive out the Gentiles, that Jerusalem shall no more be trodden by the Gentiles, for their time to occupy the Holy Land shall be brought unto its end. Then the Jews are to return and possess the land. Isaiah, Daniel, and Nahum also bear prophetic testimony of the fact that there is to be war and trouble and deliverance of the Elohim people at the time his kingdom is restored on the earth. Let us now consider Jeremiah's prophecy. Jeremiah chapter 20 through 30 is one long account, or book, if you please, containing both history and prophecy. It deals with the wickedness of the Jews and how Elohim would deal with them if they did not repent. Okay, and the Yahweh tried every possible way to lead them to repentance, but they would not respond. In the 26th chapter is an account of a conference they held to determine what to do with the Jeremiah, the Yahweh's prophet. Some wanted him killed, but others objected unto it, and his life was preserved. One of the most important facts to be observed in these chapters, however, is that the Yahweh declared that the punishment he was to mete out to his people, the Jews, would sometime be given unto to the kingdoms of the Gentiles also. We shall now read Jeremiah 30, verse 1 and 2. For the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Yahweh, saying, Thus speaketh the Yahweh Elohim of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. The Yahweh commands the prophet to write in a book all the words that he has spoken in the preceding chapters. Jeremiah 30, verse 3. For lo, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith Yahweh, and I will cause them to return unto the land that I gave unto their fathers, and they shall possess it. All that the Elohim had said about the destruction of the Israel and Judah was to be carefully written in a book, because sometime he is to deliver them both, and he did not want that fact to be forgotten. I am positive upon the Bible authority that the kingdom restored is not to be made up in the heaven above. It is to be made up in the very land where the Elohim people lived until they were driven out because of their sins. Okay, now the Seventh-day Adventist Church, spiritual Israel today, was born and raised here in the United States. This is their home of origin. They have since scattered out all over the world, and we are to now call upon the restore modern-day Israel back to her habitat. Her original habitat. And we know it started all in the land of Israel, but we also know that the United States in prophecy in the Western Hemisphere is also referred to as the New World. And so therefore we are referring to the restoration of Yahweh's kingdom with this beginning right here in this New World. United States proper, where its headquarters are at. Yahweh is working through the President Obama to let down the borders, both north and south, making this Western Hemisphere into one great country. But we know that Texas has its own borders that were set by prophecy and by action of our forefathers that fought for the independence of this great nation of Texas. And that was in 1836 when they had the war between the Republic of Texas people and Mexico that was in control of this country. And that's when Texas was born, reborn as a nation, recognized with boundaries. And so we are going to have those boundaries restored to Texas, which takes up probably a third of the United States altogether once the boundaries have been re-restored. Okay, let's continue reading. Yes, the Bible teaches that all the 12 tribes someday will return and possess that land, the land that he gave unto their fathers. Okay, now Moses also crossed the Red River. That borders the northern part of Texas with Oklahoma. And he came from Missouri, from the north. Moses Austin, he had a good name, Moses. And he made his crossover in about 1820 into this great nation of Texas to colonize it, to start the first colony here. And read the history of Texas from then on, you'll find out that she indeed did colonize and into a great nation that started out small. Just like in the United States, forefathers came from England, and they came here and they had the Declaration of Independence in 1776 when they won their autonomy and their freedom and their sovereignty to become self-governing and have their own nation, and in 1776. And that's when the 13 colonies band together and formed, sent their militia people out to fight against the Red Coats, the British, and they won their independence. Same thing today. Texas was set aside as an independent nation, a righteous, sovereign nation. And our forefathers fought against the ones that were in control of this land, and they won their independence. Okay, that's been put on hold since 1861, starting of the Civil War, with what they call Lincoln's War. But now we have Texas coming back and recognized now by the world, most of the world, as a sovereign, independent nation, independent of the United States. Okay, let us continue. After the millennium, Elohim's people will possess not only Palestine, but they will possess the whole earth. They must first, however, return from among the Gentiles and possess the land of their fathers in the fulfillment of the prophecy we are now studying. Necessarily, then, it must take place before the millennium, before Elohim's people go to heaven. Jeremiah 30, verse 4 to 6, it says, and these are the words that the Yahweh spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Remember, when he says Israel, he's talking about the 10 tribes. When he says Judah, he's talking about the 2 tribes. For thus saith the Yahweh, we have heard a voice of the trembling, of the fear, and not of the peace. Ask you now, and see whether man doth travail with the child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in the travail, and all faces are turned into the paleness. We heard a noise of the trembling, of fear, and not of peace. We do not have to ask whether a man travails with a child, for we know that he does not. What then is the reason for the suggestion of the question? For it indicates that something is to happen that never happened before. It will be something as strange as if a man were to travail with a child. A time of the great and unusual trouble and fear is to overtake the people. It is to bring great distress and anxiety upon them. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Though it is designated as the time of the Jacob's trouble, yet there is no trouble like it in the respect that none is so great. In this prophecy, Elohim is revealing that before Elohim's people return unto their father's land, there shall be a time of trouble that will turn all faces pale. It will be a time of the trembling, of the fear, and of the trouble such as never was. Okay, it says that trouble is coming. It is not going to be a small trouble. Why is it called Jacob's time of trouble? Jacob met his trouble while he was returning unto the promised land. Now Jacob is to return again unto the promised land with all his household. And again, he is to meet with the great trouble. That is why it is called the time of the Jacob's trouble. The trouble is to be exceedingly great. Some of us may think we have hardship now, but the fact is that we do not know what hardship is. We cannot now comprehend or even imagine how great the trouble will be. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The trouble actually is what saves him. then the time of trouble is coming for the good of the Latter-day Jacobites. It is coming to deliver them. Through this most difficult time, it is a man who has the greatest faith in the Elohim that will fear the least. The more faith one has, then the greater will be his deliverance. For we have learned that in that great time of trouble, those represented by the Jacob will be delivered. Daniel called it a time of trouble such as never was, and he also foretells that Michael shall stand up and deliver everyone whose name is found written in the book. Why did both prophets write about it? Jeremiah perhaps deal more directly with the deliverance of the people, and makes plain at the time Elohim is to accomplish the deliverance. Jeremiah 30 verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Yahshua of the host, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. To break one's yoke and bond means to make one free. It is from the Assyrian yoke that Jacob is going to be made free. Well, I believe that we have finally got the last vestiges of this Assyrian yoke broken off of our neck with the departure of Alan DeLong and Sharon. I believe they don't realize it, but they represented part of this Assyrian yoke when they wouldn't come clean and do everything that was commanded of them by Yahweh through his prophet Elijah David. And so therefore we are happy to announce that this will pave the way for the saving of their soul at last, if they will indeed can indeed find repentance, then we will be glad to accept them right back into the fold. Okay? Jeremiah 30 verse 9. But they shall serve the Yahweh, the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now we will read the last part of Jeremiah 30 verse 8 again. And strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. For the reason there will be no strangers is that no one will serve himself there in the religious realm. The strangers serve themselves rather than the Yahweh and their king, but in the kingdom all will serve the Yahweh, the Elohim, and David their king. If I am a minister of the gospel, for what I can get out of it, then I am serving none but myself. But if I am serving for the good of Elohim's people, then I am serving Elohim. There are many people today dying for their country. Should not a Christian be willing to die, if necessary, for the cause of the Yahshua? There shall be no more strangers among Jacob that will serve themselves, but they shall serve the Yahweh, the Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Okay. So now, those of you that that joins that group that sings out to Yahshua on his way back to heaven, when he came the first time to separate the sheep from the goats and start the judgment of the living. And you can, in your hearts, repeat that in Luke 19:14, where you said in your heart that we will not have this man reign over us. He's not going to rule over us. Okay? That simply means that you're telling Yahweh that this man, David, that has been appointed to reign over us here in the kingdom, we're not going to have him. So Yahweh says, well, if you can't have him reign over you, then you have no place in the kingdom. So he takes you out of the kingdom. Okay, let's go ahead. There are two principles brought to light in this statement. One is religious and the other is civil. The one religious is none other than the Yahweh, the Elohim, and the one civil is David, their king. If he is to raise David under them, then it must be that they are going to have a theocratic form of government as they had in the David's time. Jeremiah 30 verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith Yahweh, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Jacob should not fear. because he shall be saved out of his trouble. Bethlehem is going to deliver him by a miracle. If it were not a fearfully troublous time, he would not need to be told to fear not, nor be dismayed. It is to be a terrible time of the trouble just before Jacob is delivered. Certainly then, the statement that there is a silver lining behind every cloud is true in this case. Jeremiah 30, verse 11 and 13. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith Yahweh, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. Bethlehem's people ought to receive punishment, but it is only going to be in measure. The incurable bruise and grievous wound is the kingdom lost. Though the bruise is incurable, yet they are to be delivered. Only a miracle can heal an incurable bruise. Just before Elohim's people are delivered, they will be painfully aware that there is no possible way for them to be delivered. That a miracle is to take place, then all will know that the Elohim alone wrought their deliverance. Well, we know that. It took a miracle to deliver us out of Kermit, Texas, 2002, 2003. It took a miracle. I mean, it's obvious. We, even when we at the beginning of our deliverance, we still was held over for one whole year, bound to that situation. But once we were thrust out of there, then there was no more looking back. Only looking forward to the promised land. This is the land promised to us. Jeremiah 30, verse 14 and 15. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins are increased. I have done these things unto thee. Okay, it says here on page 14, at the top of page 14, Elohim's people suffered the loss of their kingdom because of their sins. Okay. Well, Mount Zion at the 11th hour, Kermit, Texas, they were Yahweh's people. They were Mount Zion at the 11th hour. But they suffered the loss of their kingdom. That was the kingdom of antitypical King Saul. And that was the kingdom of Israel. That was the antitypical kingdom of Esau, and that was Edom, same thing. And that was the kingdom that I was a part of for 33 years. Okay, and I witnessed the rise and the fall of that kingdom, because they lost the kingdom because of their sin. Jeremiah 30, verse 16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. This is the beginning to be fulfilled when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh, because he called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. For the adversaries will make sport of the Zion, because apparently no one will be looking after them, and they will have no following or friends, no one to plead their cause. Okay, Jeremiah 30, verse 18. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. The city shall be rebuilt, and the palace shall remain. So here you have the restoration of the city, right here, in the prophecy. Restoration of all things in the sight of the enemy. They're going to see this. They're going to witness this with their own eyes. Even though the wicked men of the earth are doing everything they can to destroy this world, all over, Yahweh is going to put his healing hand on it through his prophets, His messengers, His servants, of all description, and they're going to, like bees, a bees and a beehive. They're just going to go to work and become the worker bees of the kingdom. And He's going to employ the Gentiles from outside of the kingdom's walls. He's going to employ them to come in and as carpenters, and they're going to build up the land. They're going to build up all Yahweh's people. They're going to even fight for Yahweh's people. They're going to be a great army of fighters that's going to oust their own brethren out of Yahweh's, out of the earth. They're going to clean them completely out of the earth. Let us go on now. It says in Jeremiah 30, verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, they shall not be small. They are going to multiply and be a great people. Jeremiah 30, verse 20. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Their oppressors are still there. Jeremiah 30, verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will call them to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith Yahweh? For the nobles shall not be of the Gentiles, for they shall have their own government. Jeremiah 30:22-24. And you shall be my people, and I will be your Elohim. Behold, the whirlwind of Yahweh goeth forth with fury, a contending whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For the fierce anger of the Yahweh shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it. To find what the whirlwind is, let's turn to Jeremiah 25:15-18. For thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations unto whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Yahweh's hand, and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Yahweh has sent me, to witness Jerusalem and the city of Judah, and the kings thereof, and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a curse, as it is at this day. So this Jeremiah's prophecy is for the antitypical Jeremiah, which would be none other, but this master prophet Jezreel is a generic term for this Elijah, David, these two-in-one prophets, with the two names in one prophet, that's Elijah David, that's bringing forth these prophecies and giving the true explanation of them and making them clear that none should err. Those that are in the Spirit will have no trouble seeing the truth of all of this and wanting to be a part of it. It says, it made Judah a curse. Jerusalem is first among the nations to take this curse. For Jeremiah 25:19, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and his servants, and his princes, and all his people. Egypt was next. Jeremiah 25:20-29, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Azah, and Ekron, and the remnant of the Ashdod, Edom, and Moab, and the children of the Ammon, and all the kings of Taurus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the Isles, which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buzz, and all that are in the utmost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the desert, and all the kings of the Zimri, and all the kings of the Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, upon the face of the earth, and the king of the Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahshua the host, the Elohim of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more. because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Yahshua the host, You shall certainly drink. For lo, I began to bring evil on the city which is called by my name, and that would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist, which are joined collectively together into one house of Yahweh, which is called the spiritual Israel of the day, the 12 tribes of the sinful kingdom that Amos 9 talks about, where the prophecy says, Amos says, Yahshua says, I will destroy the sinners from among my people. All the sins of my people I will destroy and take away. And you shall be utterly unpunished. You shall not be unpunished. For I will call forth sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Yahshua the host. But Yahweh here declares that he commenced his punishment with his own people, and he is not going to excuse other people from the punishment. And all the nations unto whom he sent it were to drink of the curse. And what he did to punish his people is a sample of what he will do unto the nations, because he will not allow them to go unpunished. Jeremiah 25:30-31. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, Yahweh shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Yahweh hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked under the sword, saith the Yahweh. The wicked will be destroyed. All it says, Jeremiah 25:32, Thus saith Yahshua the host, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. Evil will go forth from nation to nation, for Elohim will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth. It means war. That's exactly what we're coming into right now with this country here. Jeremiah 25:33, And the slain of Yahweh shall be at that day, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. But this verse is not describing the conditions that will prevail as a result of the coming of the brightness of the Yahshua when he comes in the clouds. This is a slaughter from the great whirlwind of Jeremiah 25:32. It is from war. Why should the Yahshua first bring this on Judah and Jerusalem and then onto the nation? Because they had the greatest light, and therefore they had the least reason to be wicked. Then when this war starts and in time of the deliverance of Elohim's people, the most enlightened people will suffer first. Please return now unto Jeremiah 30:23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Yahshua goeth forth from with the fury, a continuing whirlwind, and it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. For this whirlwind is warfare which does not arrive and then quickly die out. It stays long. It is the start in the latter end of the time of the Elohim's people, when the Elohim's people are scattered among the Gentiles, just before his people are delivered. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, saith the Yahshua, will I be the Elohim of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. For the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, the Gentile world, showing that the sword fell while the people were still in the Gentile nation. Those that were left will be restored unto their own land. It is in the time when the true ones in the Israel are left and find grace with the Elohim. Jeremiah 31:3-4. For the Yahweh hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with a loving kindness have I drawn thee, and again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. She will again be a kingdom as she once was. Jeremiah 31:5-6. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall eat them as the common thing. There shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye and let us go up unto Zion, and to the Yahweh or Elohim, and his son Yahshua, the Messiah, no doubt, for Judah is in Zion. Ephraim refers unto the kingdom of Israel as the 10-tribe kingdom. Therefore, the day is coming that Ephraim will go unto Judah and the Zion unto the Yahshua the Messiah and Yahweh Elohim the Father. Jeremiah 31:7. For thus saith the Yahweh, Sing with the gladness for the Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thou people, the remnant of Israel. There are people yet to be saved. Jeremiah 31:8. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and will with them are the blind and the lame, the woman with a child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. A great company shall return. Jeremiah 31:9-10. They shall come with weeping, and with supplication that will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of the waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father unto Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. An announcement is being made unto the nations, informing them of the good things that the Yahweh will do for Israel. Okay, Jeremiah 31:11-12. For the Yahweh hath redeemed Jacob, and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the house of Zion, and shall flow together unto the goodness of the Yahweh, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock, and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Let us now turn to Isaiah 30 and read another prophet's prediction of the very same prophecy we have just read about this afternoon. Isaiah chapter 30 describes the wickedness of Judah and Israel and sets forth Elohim's intention to destroy their kingdom. Let us now read in Isaiah 30 verse 18. He says, And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Yahweh is the Elohim of the judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. In the previous verses, Yahweh sets forth the determination of his people to go their own way, which will lead unto loss and shame. But in this verse, he declares that he will wait for a time in the mercy. For the true ones among them are those who will wait for him. Thus will he be exalted. And a special blessing is in the store for those who do wait for him. Isaiah 30:9-10. Okay, for the people shall dwell in the Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. They shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem, not in some other place. He says, Isaiah 30:20, And though the Yahweh give you the bread of the adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Though the kingdom was to be broken up, yet in the time of the restoration, their teachers would be seen of the people. Isaiah 30:21, And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk in it, when you turn unto the right hand, and when you turn unto the left. When the horse comes to the forks in the road, he wonders which road you want him to take. All he wants is but a gentle touch of the reins by the driver to indicate the road he is to follow. So with the alien people, the still small voice will clearly direct them in the right way if they will follow it. Okay, it says that Isaiah 30, verse 22-24, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of the silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of the gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a mistress a cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Then shall it give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous, and that they shall thy cattle feed in the Lord's pastures. The oxen likewise, and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which has been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. Isaiah 30, verse 25 and 26, and there shall be upon every high mountain, and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in that day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of the 7 days, and the day that Yahshua bindeth up the breach of his people, and healeth the stroke of their wound. Okay, for the day when the Yahshua binds the breach of his people and heals the stroke of their wound is in the day of the restoration. It is in the day that the kingdom is returned unto the Elohim's people. And at that time, the moon and the sun will shine many times brighter. This, of course, is symbolical language for the sun, signifying of the Bible truth. For if the sun is for the shining 7 times brighter, then the sun would indicate that the truth would become clearer and brighter. Since it is even now growing brighter and brighter, we see it in another evidence at the time. This prophecy is to meet its fulfillment is almost here. Okay, it says in Isaiah 30, verse 27, behold, the name of Yahshua cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Okay, this brings us close by stage. This is how you can contact us at the 11th hour call. We're going to continue this sermon in our next study. We're going to close this service now with a song. Wonderful words of love.
Send him over again to me. Wonderful words of love. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of love. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words of love. Gosh. For the blessed one gives to all wonderful words of love. Sinner, listen to the loving call, wonderful words of love. Oh, so freely given, moving into heaven, beautiful words. Wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of love. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of love. Yes, only Savior, sanctify for heaven. Beautiful word, wonderful word, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.